It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 3-2 in overtime to the Pittsburgh Penguins, 38-19-7, 83 points on the year. Next in action Thursday, 4 o'clock in Columbus against the Blue Jackets as this four-game road trip continues. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know it, Dan, when you look at this game, similar to what happened in Los Angeles in that the Golden Knights had to kind of climb out of a hole, expend a lot of energy. They get there. They do get this game to overtime. But then it just kind of never really get an opportunity to possess the puck in overtime. I wonder what your takeaways are from this game.
Yeah, it was different from the last game against LA in that, you know, I don't think they played poorly in the first period. I think that Tristan Jarry was just very, very good, as opposed to, you know, when the Knights played that first period against the Kings. The Knights were not very good. They simply were not good in the first period, and the Kings took a 2-0 lead. And yes, the Knights eventually, you know, had some pushback. The game was 3-0 before Vegas scored. You know, today it was, you know, 2-0 before Vegas scored. And I'll just sum it up by saying, Ryan, Tristan Jarry was excellent, and Ilya Samsonov was not as good as he needed to be, especially that goal in overtime. You know, Erik Karlsson is Erik Karlsson, but there were a couple today where you thought Samsonov could have or should have made the save. He only saw 17 shots. There were only four of them in the third period. And Tristan Jarry was excellent. We said it just before Hannafin scored the game-tying goal the Penguins this year, and for Jarry this year, I should say, had not had a game where he allowed fewer than two goals. And then that obviously continues because he gave up the goal to Hannafin. But he, with all signs point to Jarry as the winning goaltender. He earned his win today. The Knights had a lot of chances. Penguins are using their top-line guys a lot. Bruce Cassidy said on the pregame show they were successful against Pittsburgh last time because they quieted down the top guys. They had all been on streaks going into the Vegas game 4 days ago. Today, Crosby scores two, and Karlsson scores in overtime. The top players are playing a lot. There's a sort of a mushy middle for the Penguins. I don't want to take anything away from the players that they have acquired, but clearly they, you know, sold off some pieces this year, and the remaining pieces are people that they brought in elsewhere are filling out this lineup. Five guys in the lineup today had played elsewhere during the season for Pittsburgh. Point is, top guys were very good, but in particular, Tristan Jarry was the better goalie than Ilya Samsonov, and to me, that was the biggest difference today.
When you look at it from the Golden Knights perspective, because Samsonov is coming off of a game on Friday against the Penguins where he has a 22-save shutout, so you're thinking it's moving in the right direction. And then, you know, again, a game like this, how do you find more consistency night to night, start to start for Ilya Samsonov?
That's a great question, and I'm not sure I have a great answer. You know, if you're a goalie, you want to get into a rhythm. I suppose, you know, you got to, you know, you're not too often going to have Samsonov play consecutive games. He did that, you know, just coming out of the break, and he gave up five goals in each of them. One of them was a win. So, you know, there's that very fine line for Sean Burke and Bruce Cassidy and company to walk where you want to keep both goalies in gear, but you also don't want to get them out of rhythm. How do you do that? I'm not sure. You know, the other part of it is, and this is not an excuse, but as Gary mentioned a few times, it's never easy to go across the country for a Western Conference team. And Bruce even said, when I asked, what are you focusing on in preparation for this game? And he said, sort of laughing, well, yesterday we prepared flying across the country. And, you know, Samsonov is new to the Western Conference. You ask some of the guys, and Bruce will bring it up too, from his point of view as a coach, that if it's your first year in the Western Conference, then, you know, you're perhaps not as accustomed to that, you know, playing the first game after going across country. You know, again, not an excuse. Could that be part of it? I don't know. Goalies are another category altogether. I would suggest we ask some of our fellow goaltenders on the staff, Ryan. But, you know, just Tristan Jarry, who has not had a good season. This, I don't know what Tristan would tell you, but I suspect that he would offer, and maybe some other folks around the Penguins would offer, this was his best start of the year. And he did deserve to win, and he earned his 10th win in appearing in 24 games, 23rd start here today.
So Jack Eichel ties William Karlsson's single-season point record with 78 points. He's got 18 games left of runway to add to that total, break the record, and then add to the total. When it comes to Jack Eichel and the offensive output that he's had this season, you and I have remarked multiple times about just how consistent he has been. And, you know, as we get closer and closer to the end of the year, is there another aspect of what Jack's been able to do offensively this year beyond the consistency that's standing out to you?
You know, he's, of course, the power play is part of it. I mean, he has, you know, today, Ryan, he's played 63 games, which was the same total as last year. I think that while you certainly expect Jack to do a lot of scoring, last year, you know, his scoring was more on the goal side. He had 31 goals, 11 out of those 31 were on the power play, and he hit 68 points in 63 games. Now he's got more points this year, 77, and a lot more assists. So he's got 20 goals, franchise record, 58 assists now with 78 points. So I wonder if there has been more of a focus on being a playmaker. You would have assumed, you know, he played with, you know, Jonathan Marchessault. Both of those guys shoot plenty. You know, maybe that's part of it. And of course, on the power play, he's got those 20 goals, but only four on the power play, whereas he's got, you know, 25 power play assists. So I think that the special teams is part of it. You know, the evolution of Jack as a player. You know, last season he missed games from mid-January into March, missed 19 games. Now remember, he was injured in that first Golden Knights-Bruins game on November 11th in the third period, and then missed some time. So I think that this year, partly because he's healthy, but there's been no interruption in his runway. You know, he just keeps getting better. There's been nothing to slow him down, not opponents and not an injury. So, yeah, I mean, he is just involved, it seems, in so much of the Knights offense. And it's not all on the power play, of course. As you said, the even strength production has been there, too. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, this is the best offensive season. It's on pace for the best offensive season in Golden Knights history. But, you know, as we interviewed him during the game, you got the sense, you know, he was really giving credit to his teammates, surrounded by a lot of really good players, but far more interested in winning games than any individual accolade.
And that might be what makes Jack such a leader on this team. Any final thoughts on this one, Dan, before we turn our attention to Thursday night in Columbus against the Blue Jackets?
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me the chance, Ryan, to mention Mike Lang. Mike Lang, the incredible play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins from the beginning, retired a couple of years ago. He passed away just a few weeks back, and it is our first time here in Pittsburgh since Mike passed. And just a legendary broadcaster of the National Hockey League, known throughout Western PA for his sayings. I cannot do a Mike Lang impersonation, but I invite our listeners to Google Mike Lang. He called all five Stanley Cup championships for this organization. And he is dearly missed here in Pittsburgh. You know, Josh Getzoff on television, Joe Brand on the radio do an excellent job. The torch has certainly been passed, but it was just such a wonderful experience chatting with Mike when the Golden Knights would play the Penguins. And Mike was just so kind to me when the Golden Knights, new organization, come into the league. And it seems that Mike, once upon a time earlier in his career, kind of went through a new franchise, that sort of thing. But our condolences to Mike's family and just a salute to one of the great broadcasters this sport has ever heard.
Very well said, Dan. Thanks so much for jumping on and doing this. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll chat on Thursday.
Thanks, Ryan.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 3-2 loss to the Pittsburgh Penguins. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Join your fellow VGK fans at the next official watch party on Sunday, March 16th at Stadium Swim at Circa Resort and Casino. Enjoy the spectacular setting at Stadium Swim and cheer the team on to victory as the Golden Knights face Detroit. Keep in mind that Circa is a 21 and over resort. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 3-2 in overtime to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Vegas 38-19-7, 83 points. Still atop the Pacific Division, a five-point edge over the Edmonton Oilers. And next in action Thursday, 4 o'clock in Columbus against the Blue Jackets as this four-game road trip continues for the Vegas Golden Knights. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Both Ivan Barbashev and Brett Howden did not play in this game, out for personal reasons. Theodore still out for the Vegas Golden Knights, dealing with an upper body injury, and William Karlsson out with a lower body injury, is on the road trip. Did practice earlier today in a red non-contact sweater, so we'll see when Karlsson might be able to rejoin the hockey club. Now, that being said, just kind of an overview of how you should think about these things, or more or less view these things, and Bruce Cassidy touched on it earlier today as well. You don't necessarily bring a player on a road trip, a week-long road trip, four-game road trip, if you're not expecting them to potentially be able to play. So I think the expectation is that at some point on this road trip, sometime before Sunday, William Karlsson will be ready to go, assuming that everything continues to progress in terms of his recovery and getting back on the ice. So that's something to keep in mind. It's something to look forward to if you're a Golden Knights fan. But again, post-game injury report, William Karlsson still out, though he is on the road trip and is continuing to practice with the Vegas Golden Knights in a red non-contact jersey. So that's the latest that we have in terms of the injury report for the Vegas Golden Knights as we get closer and closer to the end of the regular season. Take a look at the highlights in this game, and we go back to the first period, and the Penguins open the scoring late in the first on Sidney Crosby's power play goal.
Hayes continues, breaks at the near side. Eichel picked him up. Now the feed goes to the middle. They score! Crosby on the doorstep, and the Penguins strike on the power play. Pittsburgh on top, 1-0, with 2:12 to go in the first period.
Power play goal for Sidney Crosby, his 22nd of the year, from Ricard, Raquel, and Kevin Hayes. 17:48 of the first period made it 1-0 Pittsburgh. The Penguins would take that lead into the second period and extended that lead early on in the second period when Ricard, Raquel won a battle high in the zone and fed Sidney Crosby for his second of the game.
Now here's Crosby, a look right circle. He scores! Broken play. Crosby had the whole right side of the ice to himself. Two goals today for Crosby. Four goals in two games. And it is 2-0 Pittsburgh. 3 minutes into the second.
Second goal of the game, 23rd goal of the year for Sidney Crosby from Ricard, Raquel. 3:02 of the second period made it 2-0 Pittsburgh, but the Golden Knights got on the board late in the second period on Pavel Dorofeev's power play goal.
Dorofeev sitting on 24 goals. Now left for Hanifin. Left corner for Eichel. Up top Hanifin. To the right, Dorofeev shoots. He scores! Pavel Dorofeev, his 25th goal of the season. It's a power play goal. And the Knights now trail 2-1. 5:31 to go in the second period.
25th goal of the year for Pavel Dorofeev on the power play from Noah Hanifin and Jack Eichel. 14:29 of the second period made it 2-1 Pittsburgh. So the Penguins had a one-goal lead going into the third period, and it took the Golden Knights 19 minutes and 54 seconds of time in the third to tie the game on Noah Hanifin's one-timer from the point.
Stone for Hanifin. Now Stone again. 8 seconds. Stone for Hanifin. Shoots. He scores! 6 seconds to go. Noah Hanifin ties the game. 2-2.
Ninth goal of the year for Noah Hanifin from Mark Stone and Pavel Dorofeev. 19:54 of the third period. 6 seconds left. Ties the game at 2. So we'd head to overtime. And though the Golden Knights pushed to tie the game Erik Karlsson ended it just 48 seconds into overtime.
Into the zone came Letang. He dropped it off, setting up Malkin. Malkin dropped it off on the right. A shot. Score!
Erik Karlsson beats Samsonov glove side, and the Penguins win it in overtime 3-2.
Erik Karlsson, his ninth of the year from Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang, 49 seconds into overtime, wins the game for the Pittsburgh Penguins 3-2 as they defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas falls to 38-19-7, 83 points on the year. Next in action Thursday, 4 o'clock in Columbus against the Blue Jackets as this four-game road trip for the Vegas Golden Knights continues. You got in Columbus on Thursday, and then you've got the Buffalo Sabres and the Detroit Red Wings over the weekend. That is what the Golden Knights have in front of them over the next three games. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back to the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 3-2 in overtime to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Vegas 38-19-7, 83 points on the year. Next in action Thursday, 4 o'clock in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. Another opportunity for the Golden Knights to take 2 points or get 2 points in the ledger. Another opportunity on the road for the Golden Knights to improve their road record. And this one's going to be, I'm interested to see how people are responding to this loss in particular for the Vegas Golden Knights. Mainly because, again, it's not the same type of game as what you saw against LA on Sunday. That game, Vegas wasn't particularly good. Puck management wasn't where it needed to be. It was just one of those games where I would say top to bottom, the Golden Knights were not dialed in as a team. And this one, it feels a little bit different. The shots ended up 38-17 Vegas. The Golden Knights had 20 shots on goal in the third period, and there were moments, pockets inside of this one where not a lot was going on. You know, even though the Golden Knights outshot the Penguins in the second period, it didn't really feel like a barrage, like that big push that we're used to seeing from a team when they're down. That certainly did come in the third period. I thought Tristan Jarry was excellent, and you know, I'm seeing a lot on the text line. Tristan Jarry was better than Ilya Samsonov. And sometimes that happens, and unfortunately for the Golden Knights, it was not a performance from Samsonov where you were able to get that next save, that extra save, and it cost you an extra point in this game. It's kind of as simple as you can make it out to be, and that's as clear as you can kind of view this game through that lens. Text line is always open for you. 702-876-1340, that's the text line. We're going to get to phone calls in just a couple of minutes. But the text line is always open for you. This one's coming in from Juan. With possession being so important in OT, would it not make more sense to pair Jack with Hurdle to start extra time and try to win the faceoff? Yeah, I think that that's a really interesting way of kind of viewing it, Juan. And you're not wrong. Like, you're really not. When it comes to overtime and kind of the issue for the Golden Knights in this overtime specifically, and as has happened at times in overtime earlier on in the season, when the Golden Knights don't start with possession, or if you don't start with possession, it becomes really difficult, increasingly more difficult, to get the puck back, to win possession back, and then get your chances. So much of overtime, 3-on-3, is about starting with the puck and then burying your look when you get it. Now, obviously, if you don't bear down on your chances, like the Penguins did in this one, all of a sudden, transition opportunities going the other way can open up, and all of a sudden, you're looking at some chances yourself. But I don't dislike that. I think that's a great idea in terms of kind of moving forward. Go out there with your two best center icemen. Now, ordinarily, I think if William Karlsson was healthy, and that'd be my only counterpoint to this, is if Karlsson is healthy, if you don't go Noah Hanifin, William Karlsson, Jack Eichel, or even William Karlsson, Tomas Hertl, and Noah Hanifin, just to start things off. That might be a look that get moving forward, but to be honest, there haven't been a ton of overtime games for the Golden Knights this season. Obviously, you'd like their record to be better when they do get to extra time, but you know, starting with the puck is certainly an aspect of this game that you're looking at coming off of the loss. Rita, I see you talking about the referees. I don't necessarily disagree with you either. There were at least two clear penalties in the third period that could have been called on the Penguins. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that that is the ultimate difference in the game. I'm not going to sit here and say that if the referees called those two penalties in the third period, one, a clear interference on Jack Eichel, two, Nick Waugh getting tripped up in the slot in the third period. I'm not saying that Vegas would score on both of those power plays, but the fact of the matter is, you're talking about the second best power play in the league, getting an opportunity to do something with that game trailing in the third period. I don't like the idea, and I've been on record about saying this, if you're going to call something in the first period, you got to call it in the third period. And I just think that when you look at the penalties that were called against Vegas early on in the game, first two penalties in the first period, obviously then Vegas picks up a penalty at the beginning of the second period and beginning of the third period. If you're going to call it in the first, you got to call it in the third. I'm not saying, and I don't believe that's why the Golden Knights lost this game, but I am with you in that there were opportunities in the third period that the Golden Knights created where the referees could have called penalties on the Penguins and they just didn't do it. So I'm with you there. Still checking in on the text line. Steven says four penalties in the game. Knights need to tighten up their game. It's not the time of the season for loser points. Yeah, I mean, you obviously want 2 points. You're right on the money there, but you'll take any standings points you can get at this point, especially trailing in the third period, needing to climb your way out of a two-goal deficit to get at least a point out of this game is a positive for the Vegas Golden Knights. Did they play well enough top to bottom, forwards and defense, to win the game? Yeah, I do think that they did. But unfortunately, they weren't able to get this one across the goal line, but they do get a point out of it. I think that that is important. We'll take a break. Wrap it up next on the VGK postgame show. Wrap it up on the VGK postgame show. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
VGK postgame show, the Golden Knights fall 3-2 to the Pittsburgh Penguins in overtime. Vegas 38-19 and 783 points on the year. Next in action Thursday, 4 o'clock in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. The Golden Knights battle back from a two-goal deficit to force overtime in this one, thanks to Noah Hanifin's goal with 6 seconds left in the third period. The Golden Knights get a power play goal from Pavel Dorofeev and a 6-on-5 goal from Noah Hanifin. No 5-on-5 goals for the Vegas Golden Knights in this game tonight. You know, I'm looking again at the text line. There's a lot in terms of Ilya Samsonov, which is understandable after tonight's game. It was a scenario where if you just look at the box score, if you just look at the sheer volume of chances that the Golden Knights created in this one, Tristan Jarry was the difference. And, you know, I think a lot of fans will probably look at it in a different way and say that Ilya Samsonov was the difference in, you know, in the negative. But I'm going to tip my cap here to Tristan Jarry. He was absolutely fantastic. Now, one text here from Mike, no puck luck. Yeah, I'm with you. There was certainly the play for Jack Eichel walking down Main Street. He beats Jarry through the five hole. It goes off the inside of Jari's left pad and then trickles just wide of the right post. When the Golden Knights were at home and when they put 23 goals on the board in just 5 games, that puck from Jack Eichel would have gone in. And tonight, it didn't. There were opportunities. Tomas Hertl had one right on the doorstep off of a wraparound. He shoots it right into Tristan Jarry's pad. There were certainly opportunities for the Golden Knights inside of this game to kind of make their own luck and find those next plays, those extra goals. But it just didn't happen. And so now you've got to pick yourself up. You've got to find your game for 60 minutes, and you've got to do it Thursday in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK Postgame Show. Extended Postgame Show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network Postgame Show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Hey, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 3-2 the final. The Penguins defeat the Golden Knights in overtime. Vegas 38-19-7, 83 points. Next in action Thursday, 4 o'clock in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. 702-876-1340, that's the number. 702-876-1340. What was the main difference in the game for you? It's really that simple. It's a very basic question. If you watch the game, if you listen to the game, I want to hear from you if you're listening to this program. Pick up the phone, dial the number, 702-876-1340. What was the difference to you in this game? We have lines open. If you call in, we're putting you on the air. 702-876-1340. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, something you will not hear anymore this season or most seasons, all hail Tristan Jarry. He, like you said, had the game maybe of the season, and it was he was unstoppable, and that is the way it should have ended, 2-1, but it didn't, thanks to an exciting goal at the end. The only regret I have is that Sid Crosby couldn't have been on the ice to get maybe a hat trick in overtime, but it's like wishing Ovechkin gets a hat trick. You don't want it against you, that's for sure.
Hold on. You regret the fact that Sidney Crosby wasn't on the ice to get a hat trick?
Yeah, well, since they won the game anyway, why not Sid? Why not have him score the winning goal and end it 3-2? That would have been amazing. And you know, just because they practiced at City National on Saturday would have been fun to see, because I watched him practice, and he is an amazing human being. There's no doubt about it. And so. Like I say, obviously, you'd rather win than see Sid get a hat trick against you, unless it's in a losing cause like we are wont to do. I do want to join Dan and Dave in the respect for Mike Lang. What an amazing individual. And I said that a few weeks ago when he passed away. I didn't have the pleasure of meeting him, but I surely did listen to him a lot. And there were a handful of people who could color a game the way he did at the National Hockey League level. Mike Lang is truly missed, and I know those two miss him greatly. The other thing that I wanted to say today is, I'm barely hanging by a thread, but I am hanging in my 7-point prediction for this road trip, so I'll stick with it for now. The overtime period. Now, if the general managers have met already and will meet again, I assume, before the start of the 25-6 season, is there chances that we will see a different overtime in 25-26 and beyond?
I don't get the sense that you're going to see anything different.
I just see so many holes in it. Football,
in what?
Tightened theirs up. Well, Now,
yeah, I mean,
now,
like in what way, Mike? It's 3-on-3 for 5 minutes. You're not trying to go 7 or 10 minutes. You're not trying to add more hockey to the equation. You went 4-on-4. More often than not, 4-on-4, there's not enough room out there to make plays and finish games. So then you're relying on having to go to an inordinate amount of shootouts. So I think if you want to see the game decided in a competition that's not quite 5-on-5 hockey, but at least still hockey, I don't know that you're going away from 3-on-3, and I don't know that you're going to extend it and kind of overtax the players in an 82-game season either.
Okay, well, we've talked about it ad nauseum, and I know that 3-on-3 for me means coaching different players to play in that position rather than having the same guys like McDavid go out every time there's a 3-on-3. I mean, I don't think that you can do it that way, obviously. What I don't like and what I believe you don't like is the ability to skate into the back of the ice, into your own zone for a period of time. I think that needs to be eliminated soon, don't you?
I mean, I'd love to see that be an aspect of 3-on-3 that goes away, I'll be honest. But teams are out there trying to win games, right? So if you've got possession and you don't have a clear lane and you don't want to turn pucks over, you make that play, you peel back. And, you know, I guess the argument from the players and the argument from, you know, the coaching staffs and the argument from general managers would be, well, you can do it 5-on-5 and it's a good play and it makes sense to do it 5-on-5. You don't want to cede possession for no real reason. So if it's good enough 5-on-5, why isn't it good enough 3-on-3?
Okay, well, like you say, it probably isn't going to change, and I'm just going to have to be frustrated at a game like this where the Knights never touch the puck. You know,
I mean, Mike, like, to be honest, you have to win the faceoff. You know what I mean? Like, that's the reality of it, right? Like,
Penguins nailed it, didn't he, with the regard to starting a little bit different people.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, again, you win the faceoff, you start with possession, and you go out there and you try to win the game. The Penguins won the faceoff, and that was the difference in the game. It sometimes comes down to those little moments, those small plays that ultimately matter in the end. But, you know, if the Penguins win that faceoff and they come into the zone and Ilya Samsonov makes a save and the Golden Knights get possession, we're not talking about how things start, but you got to go out there and win a faceoff. That's what it kind of boils down to, and it didn't happen tonight.
Well, 18 games to go. I don't think people generally realize how thin this is and how the sun is setting in the West, and we have to be able to win the division. So with 18 games to go, that's your mission, guys. Good luck, and I'll certainly be watching very carefully this week.
Appreciate the call, Mike. 702-876-1340, that's the number, 702-876-1340. If you're listening to the program right now, I want you to call in at that number, and I want you to tell me what the difference was in this game for you. Very simple question. It's an open platform for you. I want to hear from you. 702-876-1340. What to you was the difference in this game? Very simple. Taking more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. It's the Extended Post Game Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Post Game Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended Post Game Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 3-2 the final. The Golden Knights fall to the Pittsburgh Penguins in overtime. Vegas 38-19-7, 83 points on the year. Still top spot in the Pacific Division with 18 games left to play. 5 points up on the Edmonton Oilers. 702-876-1340 is the number. Pick up the phone and dial the number. Let's talk about the Golden Knights. Let's talk about this game. I'm seeing a lot on the text line. And if you text it in, dial the phone number. Because some of the comments, quite frankly, I can't say on the radio. Like, that's where we're at right now. There's some commentary in the text line I literally cannot bring to the radio. I will say, and this is kind of an interesting phenomenon to me, but not every loss, just going to say it, not every loss is embarrassing, and not every loss is an indication of what the team may or may not do in the future. I'm seeing games like this mean the Golden Knights won't have a long playoff run. I don't know how to respond to that. I truly, honestly, don't know how to respond to that because, again, we're talking about an 82-game schedule that is an absolute grind. We're talking about humans, not robots. We're talking about introduction of different variables that you're having to contend with and deal with as a professional athlete. And I'm not sitting here saying that that's not their job. It is. But so often when we view sports, so often when we're fans of teams, so often when we expect blanket expectations that a team, just simply because they are higher in the standings or just simply because they had beaten a team two games earlier, 4-0, we expect that they just need to win every single game. And if they don't win the game, it's somehow embarrassing or it's somehow indicative of what the future holds for this team. There are 18 games for the Golden Knights to get their house in order. There are 18 games for the Golden Knights to figure out 60 minutes consistently. And by the way, we're talking about a team in the Golden Knights that have been top five in the league all season long. I don't quite understand the lack of faith because of a loss, especially in a game where the Golden Knights battle back from two goals down and get a point. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Andrew. Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I was not able to catch the full game, but from what I saw, the chances I did see, it looked like that their goalie made some good saves, but not only that, it looks like we had the chances, we just couldn't capitalize. The team just couldn't capitalize on those chances. I think I saw, was it Hag just missed one, like close in? I'm not sure. But like I said, I feel like people that are angry, can be angry. I feel like they shouldn't be too angry though, because from what I saw in the bits and pieces, it looked like it was there. The team did not look like they were dejected at all. It looked like they were in it the whole time, from what I was seeing at the end part of that game. But yeah, it looked like the chances were there. They just weren't going in, which happens, you know. But I don't think it's too bad of a loss as some may be thinking it is.
Yeah, I'm with you, Andrew. I think that, you know, you look at this game, to me, the biggest difference was Tristan Jarry, the Penguins goaltender. To me, the biggest difference was the Golden Knights created chances, and Jarry had his best game of the season. And, you know, sometimes that'll happen, and I know a lot of people will get frustrated by that, but, you know, goalies exist for a reason, and goalies can impact the game in a big way. And thanks, Andrew, for the call. And you know, Tristan Jarry did that. He did everything that the Penguins could have asked him to do in this game. He gave him a chance. He had a phenomenal performance. And the Golden Knights, they had their looks. They had their chances. And when Jarry didn't make great saves, they just didn't have they weren't able to execute. They weren't able to find the back of the net. And again, sometimes in hockey over an 82-game season, that'll happen. Let's go back out to the phone line, 702-876-1340. Bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So my kids had hockey today, so I caught like the very beginning of the game and then the very end of the game on the drive home. It wasn't like a blowout loss. They forced overtime, and at this point in the season, I know people are like, "Oh, we have to get 2 points." Like, no, every point matters, and if you're gonna lose a game, which is going to happen. Like, realistically, no team is going to win every single game the remainder of their season. You know, it's like 18 games, right? We have 18 games left. There's teams that have a few more, a few less. No one's going to win all of those games. But if you're going to lose it, get the loser point. Like, that's, you know, what it is. Edmonton just lost, and they weren't able to get that loser point. So that puts us one more point above them. Every single point that we can put between us and Edmonton and us and LA is worth it.
you're right on the money. It's funny because, like, when you look at this game and you look at being down 2-0 and you kind of view it in the lens of the game on Sunday against the Kings, how euphoric would it have felt based on how the Golden Knights played if they would have been able to come back and tie that game and get it to overtime? And yet, because it's the Penguins, because it's a team mm-hmm. that's outside the playoffs and looking in, and because it was just a 2-goal deficit, the expectations are completely different. And, like, to a degree, I get it, but you're not going to stick your nose out at getting points in the standings, especially when you are in control of your own destiny to win the division. Like, to me, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, obviously you never want to be losing, but another positive is seeing that 2 games in a row, they were able to get a goal with the 6-on-5. Like,
yeah,
that's something that has been a struggle. Like, there's been so many times that it's like, oh, 6-on-5, they're going to get an empty net goal against us. Like, it just, the 6-on-5 was not strong. And again, it's something you don't want to have to practice a lot because you don't want to be in that situation a lot. But being able to, 2 games in a row, get that one extra goal, 6-on-5, is a positive too.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Stephanie. Thanks so much for the call. You're right in that there hasn't been a lot of opportunity for the Golden Knights to practice 6-on-5 this year, mainly because they've been winning a lot of games, and they have usually been the team kind of protecting a lead in the third period, so you haven't had a bunch of moments or opportunities to practice that. But in the playoffs, come playoff time, there will be moments, no matter how good you are, there will be moments where you need a 6-on-5 goal. You do. You need it. You have to find it. And so the Golden Knights run a play recently where they've been able to find 6-on-5 success. It's going to matter. Every single thing, every single piece of adversity, every moment inside of a game where you have a stretch where it doesn't work out, or you can't find your legs, or you just aren't playing particularly well, all of it matters when you get to the postseason, because you have those experiences to dial in on, and you have those experiences to kind of look back on and find a way through it. So I'm with you there. 6-on-5 has been much improved this year for the Golden Knights, same as the power play. And when you get to the postseason and you're trailing by a goal late in the third period and you want to wrestle momentum, you're going to need a 6-on-5 goal. And these games where you got that and you had that success will matter greatly for the Golden Knights in the playoffs. Take a break. Come back with more on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here, 3-2 final. The Penguins defeat the Golden Knights in overtime. Vegas 38-19 and 783 points on the year. Next in action Thursday, 4 o'clock in Columbus against the Blue Jackets. Ultimately, the Golden Knights are able to battle back after falling behind 2-0 in this game, but unable to possess the puck in overtime, and Erik Karlsson wins it just 49 seconds into the extra frame. For the Golden Knights, it's an opportunity to get right back in the win column on Thursday in Columbus. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers. It's your postgame show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls and input. Until Thursday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights Postgame Show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.